Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 4, and we went over this last time, but I want to pick it up again. Matthew chapter 4, beginning at verse 23. "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed of devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan." The next verse, chapter 5, verse 1. "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Flipping to chapter 8, verse 1. "And when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed." Heavenly Father, thank you again that we can come to your house and worship you, sing praises to your name. We can hear the word of God. And we can see Jesus as I always mention that man. Lord, help us today. Father, I see the text. I'm prepared for the message. I've prayed. But Lord, I need the Holy Spirit to step in and help me to preach it. Help me to get across what I believe you've given me to say. And Lord, we're careful to give Jesus all the credit, all the glory, all the honor. And in his wonderful name we pray. Amen. You know, I'm here trying to preach in chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount, it's called. 5, 6, and 7, these chapters. But in 1990, I was praying, trying to understand the Word of God. And the Lord showed me as I read chapter 8, verse 1, that Jesus came down the mountain and he healed the sick and what have you. And the Lord opened my understanding and I saw that Moses, he had gone up the mountain and he had received the law. He had communed with God, and he had been up there several times and had gone several more times and what have you. And we have the record, and at some point I might get back to studying those chapters again. I've already taught most of the book of Exodus on the radio. But it seemed to me that, and I didn't quite understand how the Old and the New Testament related. I knew what types were, and I tried to preach them, but I didn't understand what an anti-type was, or the fulfillment of types. A type in the Old Testament is something that foreshadows something in the New. And you can read it that way. You can see in the Old Testament the types. But if you do it the other way, you read the New Testament and you see something and you say, well, wait, that looks like something that happened in the Old Testament. When I read Matthew chapter 8, verse 1 and what have you, I saw Moses coming down the mountain. And he would minister to the people and etc. He gave them the law. He did a number of things. He tried to lead the people and judge them and what have you. And I saw that was a foreshadowing, a prophecy of what Jesus did. He went up the mountain in chapter 5 when he saw the multitudes. And later, after he taught them the Sermon on the Mount, he came down the mountain and healed the sick. We just read in chapter 4, before he went on the mountain, it says that in chapter 4, verse 23, he was teaching and preaching and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease, it says. And that his fame went throughout all Syria. And the response of the people was that they, when they knew he was coming to this town or to that town, his fame went out. Hey, Jesus is coming to our town. I mean, he's on the road. I can see, you know, on a hill. I can see down the mountain. I can see he's coming this way. And they brought unto him all sick people, it says. And we've taught on this, I guess, some weeks ago, some months ago, we taught on exactly that. If it wasn't here at Old Paths Tabernacle, it was at Faith Fellowship in Denham Springs. I forget exactly what church I was in, but I taught about that. That the people, when they heard of Jesus coming, they dropped everything that they were doing. And they went to hear the teaching, but they also gathered up everyone that was sick and said, come on, let's go get healed. And, you know, trying to study for today's sermon, I said, well, what's above that, you know? And we talked this last time in verse 16 that the people that sat in darkness saw great light. And to them that sat in the region and shadow of death, light has sprung up. I read that, I guess, this afternoon when I was studying for the message today. And I said in my heart, man, I want to teach that again. Because it does something in my heart. I have a vision. I'm not saying that I saw Jesus do this in some kind of vision, but I have something in my heart that says, this is what people need. This is what people need. They need Jesus. And I know I don't preach it well enough. I know, I guess, many times of a failure at attempting to bring across what the Word of God says. But the need of the people back then, it says, when they heard he was coming to their town, they dropped everything that they were doing and they brought the sick. They gathered them up from the countryside. If it was 3 miles away that John had a busted leg and everybody knew about John, he broke it because he fell off his horse or whatever the case. I'm just making that up. But they went the 2 or 3 miles and got him and brought him into town and made sure that he was there on the sidewalk or whatever when Jesus was passing by. That the man could call out and Jesus would turn and heal him. But it's more than just physical healing. The woman at the well, I come back to this woman so many times, she had a need in her heart. It's not that she had a busted arm, or it's not that she had cancer or anything. She had a busted heart and a busted life. But Jesus met her need. Jesus met her need. You know, we have, every one of us has a friend or a relative or an acquaintance that is either on drugs or was on drugs. We know alcoholics. All my life I've known people, relatives even, that were alcoholics. Things happen in life. And it seems like life is getting worse. You know, when I was a kid, a few of us, I guess, smoked dope, but nobody older than, I guess, 25 or so, nobody smoked dope. Nobody cared. Nobody knew what that was. Nowadays, everybody smokes dope. It's not limited to just the young, the adults, because they were young when I was young. Some of them still smoke dope. And their lives are broken many times. Two or three marriages, kids scattered in this state and that state, lawsuits, bankruptcy. I mean, we understand. We know the culture. We understand the situations. And then we can talk about world events. We can talk about the economy here in the United States going to pot. I mean, when you get down to it, we need God. But many people, most people really, don't care. Don't know that Jesus can do anything for them. You know, I was delivered from drugs. I was hooked. Couldn't get away. Wanted to stop. Was upset every time I succumbed and smoked a joint or something. Was mad at myself the next day. And for a week or so later, I was still mad because stupid me. I did something I know was wrong. I know it doesn't help me. Was trying to study at LSU, and that stuff just messed with my head. It wasn't helping me at all, and I wanted to quit. But if I went to Fred's house and he reached up underneath the sofa and got the tray, something in me said, I gotta have that. I was hooked. I'm a lightweight. Some of you know about crack and heroin and whatever else. But I was hooked. But the moment I got saved, within just a couple of minutes, I knew that I was delivered. I knew that I was free. Changed my life. I knew that I didn't have to go to the bars anymore. I was free. Jesus is the answer. Whatever problems people have, Jesus is the answer. Marriage busted up? Well, I got news for you. God can fix that. Got kids in different states and whatever, and God can help. I don't know what he can do physically, I don't understand, but I know that he can do something in the hearts. He can fix things. He can bind up the wounds. You see, there is a balm in Gilead. There is a physician there. Jesus is our great physician. And in reading this text, I see that he's the answer to the problems that we face. He's the answer. And I know that I pray for sinners. I know that my peers, other ministers that I work with, that I know personally, I know they pray for their church and for the church's relatives and what have you. I know that they want to see people perhaps in the neighborhood get off drugs or whatever the case. And I know that he's the answer. I know it. I know it. The Bible proclaims it. And I, like I said, I have a vision that he's the answer. And in my heart, when I read this verse here, verse 16 of chapter 4, the people that sat in darkness saw a great light. I feel it in my spirit. I feel that this is what people need. They need the gospel. You know, if you read 2 Corinthians, you don't have to go very far. It's in chapter 1, it starts where it talks about the comfort of God. And Paul, the apostle, and those with him, they were apostles, you know. They were the cream of the crop, let's say. Or the offscouring, if you take Paul's words for it. I mean, preachers have it good. You know, we live clean lives and what have you. Don't have hangovers, and we don't have all those kind of problems that I just described. But they went to preach the gospel in other lands, and many times they were not received. Many times Paul was beaten and left for dead, in one part it says. You know, here in New Orleans, I've done it a little bit. I know other people that's their ministry. They go to the French Quarter on Tuesday night or Saturday afternoon or whatever the case, they go to the French Quarter. And I think that there's a right way to do things and a wrong way to do things, but they try to preach the gospel. And I'm being nice. I know people that are effective, and I know people that are making fools of themselves and drawing attention to themselves. But the point is, they try to win the lost. They try to reprove the sinner. And sometimes people respond. Sometimes people respond, and they give their lives to God. I've done other kinds of ministry, maybe not on the French Quarter. When I was in Atlanta for a year, year and a half, or maybe almost 2 years, we went every Friday night. Downtown Atlanta, corner of Spring and Lucky, there was a parking lot, and we gave out hot dogs, and we held a little service. We gave out hot dogs, tennis shoes, whatever we had, whatever the people needed, we held a little service. And then we'd send out teams toward Techwood. 3, 4, 5, 6 people in a team, we'd just walk down the road, and if we came upon someone, we greeted them and wished them well, I suppose, but the point was that we would tell them about Jesus. We would try to minister to them. And every once in a while, somebody would get saved. And that's what it's all about. But like I said, I know that this is what people need. He is the answer. Next time, and I know I'm cutting it short, but next time we'll talk more about the sermon that's called the Sermon on the Mount. Maybe we'll look at the particulars of it. I said that in chapter 8, verse 1, it seemed to me that Moses was there. I could see a shadow of Moses in what Christ did. I could see that Moses had done a similar thing. If you look at, for instance, the things that Jesus says, the Ten Commandments, it says, thou shalt not commit adultery. But Jesus said, if you look on a woman with lust in your heart, you've already done it. You've already committed it in your heart. The law is hard. The Ten Commandments, they don't make any bones about it. I mean, if you steal, well, you're guilty. And if you're guilty of one, you've broken all, Paul said. And the wages of sin is death. Of course, the gift of God is eternal life. I understand that. But the law defines sin, points out sin, and shows that every one of us, me, you, and everybody, are sinners. But if you look at what Jesus said, he's quoting the Old Testament, teaching from the Ten Commandments and other places, but his standard is even more stringent than the Ten Commandments. His law, as it were, is a stronger law. You know, you can do things outwardly, and this was the point of the Sermon on the Mount, you can do things outwardly that are wrong, or you can do things outwardly that are right. But God doesn't care about the outward. He looks upon the heart. Man looks on the outward, but God looks on the inward part, on the heart. I'm reminded of the man that found himself in the ditch. And the priest on his way to church says, hey, don't got time. Levite, hey, don't got time. But the Samaritan, I'm sure he had somewhere to be too, but at the risk of bodily harm, because who knows where that robber was or whatever, he took the man. He brought him to the inn. He paid for his doctor bill. He paid the rent in advance to stay there until the man got better. Which one did right? Jesus asked. Obviously it was the Samaritan, the good Samaritan. But as I said, we'll pick it up here next time. Again, the Sermon on the Mount is from chapter 5 through chapter 7 of the book of Matthew, and it's mentioned in other books of the Gospels. But Heavenly Father, thank you for an opportunity to preach your word, and I pray that someone has caught a glimpse of what this text talks about. And it's my prayer, Lord, that people would hear and that their hearts would be touched and that they would give their lives to God. Lord, we earnestly pray for souls. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Many years he walked in darkness as he groped along the streets with his hand stretched out for pennies or just a bite to eat. It's the story of a blind man who met Jesus on his way. With the master's touch, the man looked up as the scoffers heard him say, somebody touch me, somebody touch me. Oh, I was blind, but praise his name, now I can see. I was in darkness when Jesus found. Touched a crippled man and made him walk again. And the master saw with pleasure he had not labored in vain. Like the story of that crippled man, I once was bound by sin. Since the master came, oh praise his name, Jesus found me, but see.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.